Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Down a Fulham road, we're burning with ambition. The first division is where we want to be. And if you've seen what a team we've got this season, you know the reason we'll get there easily. But first we're heading down a Wembley way to show the world that we can really play. Oh, this year we're...
You are listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport Radio. I've been joined by the Fulhamish podcast, Don Betts, George Cooper and Jack Kelly. The championship season has begun. Real football is back, but it wasn't a day to remember for the Fulham fans. Starting up at Oakwell, a 1-0 defeat to Barnsley. Not what the team had in mind. Scott Parker, new manager, his first full season, not a day to remember. Dom, he said he was going to text me, said he was going to meet me after the game for a drink. He absolutely fell off the grid. The boys are not surprised. He didn't want to know. We are going to be talking, of course, about the Barnsley game. We're going to be looking ahead towards the Blackburn game. Transfer business, 19 hours now, just under 20 hours until the transfer window closes. Can Fulham do any more business? We know they have just brought in Harry Arter, but we have to start at the very top. That game at Oakwell against Barnsley, 1-0 defeat. We're going in for the three word reviews. Dom, tell us about the game.
Well, we'll start from one of our own, Cam Ramsey, Mr. Cam Ram.
Cam Ram.
Cheers, son's crying. Next up, Christian Bussani with signs and defenders. I'll probably echo those statements. Cameron Church, prefer cricket anyway. Not by the time that test ended, mate. We had Robbie Rvan01 on Twitter with K-Mac is finished. After it looked like he pretty much died after about 5 minutes of running. Zhao Panetcha with Kamara must go. Lewis or Fulham YT on Twitter, please start Knockart. Adam Bright with Back to Reality and Steve 1964 Southwest 6 with Phone Chris Houghton.
Can I do my own three word review?
What was your three word review, mate?
Dom Betts, clueless.
Yeah, I mean,
before the game, he was giving it the big un about a certain player. He said, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. He's going to score. Printing money, he said.
Colin Woodrow, 15 to any time goal scorer. he was just bound to score, though. If he scored that bicycle kick, though, I would have left the ground. I was like, I'm not witnessing Colin Woodrow score a bicycle kick against us, but yeah, it wasn't what most of us were expecting. Maybe we're expecting Barnsley to play the way they did, but not the sort of tactical naivety shown by the side. I mean, we spoke about it on the podcast on Monday that first half was just, I don't even know where to begin. It was just embarrassing.
Jack, was this a case of Fulham played really poorly or did they underestimate Barnsley somewhat?
A bit of both, because obviously Barnsley have the momentum from promotion, so they probably went in all guns blazing and we were too slow. In fact, the first 5 minutes we had some decent spells on the ball. Mitrovic had a shot over the bar and Caviaro should have probably scored as well. But yeah, as soon as Barnsley scored, we kind of went into our shell and they wanted more, and the guy Wilkes down the wing, he was causing us so many problems. It only took us to the final 20 to wake up.
Well, normally they say that the teams coming up from League One, they're underestimated. The teams coming down from the Premier League are overestimated. It just felt like on a day that Fulham were a little bit flat. Is that fair to say, George?
I would say so, yeah. And you've got to bear in mind as well that Barnsley had their back four completely decimated before going into that game. They had a lot of reshuffling, a lot of people come in. But it speaks volumes for the organisation. They've got a fantastic manager. And I think we, although we were poor, they did play well. And I unfortunately couldn't make it to the game on Saturday. And on the Fulham website, you can watch the full 90-minute highlights. And obviously I knew what the score was because you're going to keep check with the score. And I got about 35 minutes in. I was like, oh, this is going to be such hard viewing. We were just abysmal. It looked very clueless and it is worrying. It is very worrying at this stage.
Is it very worrying though? Because straight after questions are asked, straight away Scott Parker had to face, what's gone wrong here? What are Fulham going to do this season? And he almost had to say, look, don't worry. Don't panic. You know, we'll be fine. We will be okay. But you're saying straight off the bat in game one, you're deeply concerned already.
Well, I spoke about it previously on this radio show and on the podcast. I think whenever you see that your team are favourites to go straight back up, alarm bells should be ringing. There are so many things that we need to sort out. We're paper lightweight thin in defence, midfield. We've got a manager who, I mean, I don't want to sort of come out all guns blazing knocking Parker because you've got to give the man a chance. But he's unproven. He's not managed before. And I think these are all things that we need to take into consideration. And yeah, I'm slightly concerned. I personally think it's going to be a lot more of a battle this season than a lot of people have sort of given us credit for.
Do you agree with that, Dom?
Yeah, I think people say, oh, it's only Parker's first game. Well, yeah, but it can be his first game, but the way we were set up was just embarrassing. You know, if you look at the average position map, our midfield's all over the shop. You got Johansson and came up pretty much on top of each other. You got Kearney a lot further forward with no signs of him dropping deeper to pick up the ball, which something we clearly needed to do. You got Kamara on the right wing being our furthest forward player, his average position being on the edge of the 18-yard box. No one within a yard of 10 billion yards within a Mitrovic. Caviero was sort of out wide left. You know, Brian was really far forward, which you expect to see, but in a the right back wasn't as well. It was just there was no tactical awareness from any of the players. I don't know whether that's match fitness or anything, but it just looked like Parker didn't know or didn't set them up in the right way or set them up in any way. Because, you know, yes, when we brought on Knockhart, we were creating a bit more, but we just weren't creating anything. It's not like it was a tough game and Barnsley, you know, got a lucky goal, let's say. They were all over us and they deserved their win very much so. As you said, Jack, we didn't come into the game until the final 20 minutes. I think the best chance was probably that Kamara chance when he hit it straight at the keeper where he could have just lofted it and it would have easily gone into the back of the net. But, yeah, it was just a lot of very naive when it came to Parker's tactics. So that's something you do got to question. And we have said it all summer that our biggest weakness probably actually is Scott Parker's lack of managerial experience.
Well, you mentioned it there. You only sort of came into the game with 20 minutes to go. Is this a massive wake-up call now? Because the Championship, the game's come thick and fast and it's a very tough competitive league. And I'll say, I don't want to speak for you three, but I saw the lineup I was keeping, you know, up to date with the game. I saw Knockhart was on the bench and stupidly I still went, Fulham have got this in the bag. I mean, they're still far too strong, but it just wasn't the case, was it?
No, I mean, Kamara starting was surprising given that, you know, he's had history at the club with you know, negative press, but, you know, that whole Knockhart, Caviero, Mitrovic front three was hyped in pre-season, and just not seeing him start in the first game was really disappointing. And there's no surprise that Knockhart came on and basically changed the game, and although we didn't get an equaliser, he was the standout player.
Yeah, that's the main thing that came from Saturday was my mate saying, why didn't Knockhart start? You got to start Tony Knockers. Like, I don't understand why.
Tony Knockers, brilliant.
Like it from the highlights that I saw, he looked lively. He looked dangerous. He looked sharp. That's the main thing. He looks sharp. So much sharper than the rest of them.
The reason he's on the bench...
Can I just interrupt, so if anyone calls him Anthony Knockhart, I'm going to refute that. It's only ever going to be known on a Fulham show now as Tony Knockers.
What, the argument of him not starting, you could have argued, was down to match fitness. Well, he looked like a most match fit player out of anyone. So it
Tony Knockers is always match fit, mate.
I didn't understand it. And also, when Kamara was playing, you're playing the ball into his feet. Why are you playing the ball into Kamara's feet? If you want to play the ball to Kamara, you play it in front of him for him to run on, and then he can hopefully bulldoze his way through. He can't use his feet, so don't play it into him. And then, you know, I think the most pass was Mawson playing the ball out to right back, which, you know, Mawson did look better than he has done, but then he still wasn't great. You know, one of our best players was Joe Bryan, who was actually at fault for the goal. I think he made it into the Who Scored Team of the Week getting 8.4, which I think is a bit high. But, it was a very odd game, and you can sort of tell from about 10 minutes in that it was going to be a very long day.
Well, Fulham did have their moments. You had the penalty shout with AK. What did you think on that?
I mean, when you see AK going down, now I just assume it's a dive. Yeah. I just assume it's a dive and it's not a penalty.
That's
it wasn't faith. A pen. It wasn't a pen. It looked it maybe from the stands, but then you go, oh, wait, it's Kamara, and he's looking for anything like he does every game.
They did have your moments, though. Is it Floyd Ayite?
Yeah, Floyd Ayite, yeah.
There was 1 minute, the ball came into him in the box, and he looked like he hesitated massively, almost didn't know what to do. He got caught between the two decisions and ended up making the wrong decision, and Barnsley flooded him, and then that was another chance gone. But this is pivotal in any league, but you do have to take your chances, don't you?
Yeah, I think we only created a few, but we didn't look like even when we were creating them, we were going to take them in any stretch of the imagination. I think what I didn't understand is you have Mitrovic in the middle and then no one's whipping balls into the box. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to win every header and put them in the back of the net, but, you know, when you get the ball up to him, the ball's going to stick and then you can have players running off him. That's where Mitrovic is at his best. Not actually when he's scoring these goals, but actually when he's bringing all the other players into the game. And I think our problem is Kenny needed to be nearer to Mitrovic. I think that's when you can get both the best out of both players, and we simply didn't do that. And I think it just goes back to the tactical setup from Scott Parker from the start, and we just didn't look like we were in the game.
Well, let's talk about Scott Parker then, because you have mentioned on the show that he is maybe your biggest worry, your biggest flaw going into the season. He's unproven, we're not too sure about him, and we know in defeats in sport only spread that rumour further. Straight away, questions are going to be asked. How do we stop asking those questions? Because now Dom's saying tactics are wrong, maybe not the right lineup. Knockhart didn't start, Tony Knockers, shame on me. But how do we get behind Scott Parker, and how do we change this sort of idea behind him?
I guess, you know, you've just got to give him a chance. There's not an awful lot more that you could do. You've got to make sure that he's got the right backroom staff supporting him. That's all you can really do. And also realise when things are going wrong, not let it get too... I don't know, it's tough, isn't it? It's tough. You've got to let him sort of work out his style of play. He's totally new to it all. And hopefully you'll see the players sort of reciprocate off his sort of positive energy and enthusiasm, and hopefully something will click.
Jack, will the Fulham fans give him that time?
Hopefully, although people were saying Chris shooting in after one game, which is ridiculous. Look, Parker is respected by the players. The players wanted him to join permanently. So, yeah, I would say give him more time.
All right, well, you did lose to Barnsley this week. We also do have to touch, obviously, upon the Cyrus Christie issue. There was meant to be a moment in the stands. He tweeted after the game that his sister was racially abused, someone threw a punch. We don't know the whole story, of course, allegedly, but why would he make this up in 2019? We don't want to be seeing these scenes. Dom, you was at the game. I know you said you didn't really know what was going on. What do you make of the whole incident?
Well, it's just something that's not really needed. I mean, it's, you know, there's one thing getting a little argument at the game, but there's no need for what supposedly went on there. And I think, you know, anyone who knows anything is obviously, you know, encouraged to come forward to the club and explain what happened. The only odd thing is just, like, there was no really, there was no, like, people saying on social media, oh, I saw this, I saw that. Mm. Everyone was sort of like, well, who saw it? And because it was odd, because there was an incident in the first half down the front with a friend of mine called Foxy, who everyone was talking about that half time, and it was surprised that if someone was being abusive like this towards a player's sister, you thought would someone have seen it. But obviously, you know, I do think it did happen, just maybe not as many people saw it, or maybe people are, you know, too worried to come forward. But I don't think there's really too much to say on the matter, apart from that, you know, it shouldn't really be happening.
It shouldn't be happening. We do hope it comes forward. Well, we're talking a little bit about Barnsley, and we are talking, of course, the transfer window. Fulham just signed Harry Arter this week, but are there going to be any more to come?
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport. I've been joined by the Fulhamish podcast, Dom Betts, George Cooper and Jack Kelly. We, of course, were just talking about the Championship season kicking off, the 1-0 defeat to Barnsley. We're going to be talking a little bit later about the Blackburn game coming up, but also the transfer season is still upon us. Less than 24 hours to go. Leicester, wherever got that. Fulham brought in Harry Arter this week, but is there going to be many more, Dom?
Well, I'd hope so. Yeah. I'd hope very much so. I'm hoping for at least another three in an ideal world, a holding midfielder, a centre-back and a right-back. But, you know, at the moment, the only player I've really seen is linked with is obviously Mo Besic, who's currently been linked with a £2 million move from Everton. And, you know, the only other players I feel like we've been linked with are just players who might be shoved into this Cessna to Spurs deal if that goes through tomorrow. Mm. The likes of Joshua Arnold, the likes of Cameron Carter-Vickers. So, it's not worrying, but, you know, usually when it comes to deadline day, we've linked with every man and his dog, and this year not so much. But I think it is vital that we get in a minimum of two or three players tomorrow for me, because that we may have a good team, a starting 11 maybe, you could argue. But apart from that, the depth, especially in defence and specifically that centre midfield area, I mean, you don't even have to do is look at the bench on Saturday and see the only other midfielder on the bench who weren't in the starting 11 being Luca Della Torre. You know, so I think, yeah, we do need to press on, and maybe not first teamers. I think maybe Besic could be a first teamer, you know, via McDonald for that starting holding midfield role. But yeah, there's definitely needs to be some squad depth to be built if we are going to challenge at the top this season.
I'm sure Fulham would have done business anyway this week, but with defeat to Barnsley, have they been pushed into, I don't want to say panic or desperate buys, but maybe maybe we need a few more?
Yeah, I think the Arteta deal would have happened anyway.
Yeah.
But I think the Besic deal, we were linked with him obviously before, but I think we're now going to be pushing on with it more just to try and get a number six in, because McDonald did look absolutely knackered in that game.
Yeah, we just looked too thin in midfield, and if we were to get in, Besic would be a great signing. The defence is an issue as well. Christie's probably not good enough to play right back. Fossey and Sessegnon too inexperienced, so a right back needed, a centre back probably as well, alongside Mawson.
How pleased are you then, Jack and George, how pleased are you with the Harry Arteta signing? Because he is a good player, he'll be very good in the Championship, but I always tend to worry when someone's linked and it's almost a family member signing. We know of the links to Scott Parker. Is there just favouritism there, you know, he wants to get in his brother-in-law? Because really it should be about how well can he do for Fulham and how well can he do a job.
He can't do any worse than McDonald or Johansson did on Saturday.
Well, there you have it.
And I also think people are sort of judging him on his time at Cardiff when he's probably playing in the most anti-football side in Premier League history under Neil Warnock there.
Valid
it was the only way that team was going to get points by playing that way, but that isn't what he's about. If you look at his time at Bournemouth, especially the season they got promoted, you know, being a box-to-box midfielder, housery, I guess is the best way to describe how he plays football.
the radio term,
I guess you could say. But I mean, one of his best moments at Bournemouth, or I think it was when he was playing for Bournemouth, I think it's a Watford player, maybe Abdoulaye Doucouré is about to take a shot and he just shouts, "Leave it."
It's the best moment. Yeah. It was a Chelsea player that went to Watford.
Oh, right.
What's his name?
Chalobah.
Yeah, and it's the best moment in football. Better than any goal I've ever seen. The fact that he shouts, "Leave it," and then he just goes past the ball, and then he chases after Arteta after the game. And I think that's allowed in football, gamesmanship. I think it's the best moment. Why players don't do it more, it's brilliant.
It's meant to be, by the book of the law, it's meant to be yellow card doing that, I think. If you call man on or leave it or whatever, that's...
I can't believe you said that, George. I'm so, honestly, me and you are going to fall out.
No, I'm
it's all about getting the W. Buy the book. No one wants that.
Don't read books. So.
Yeah. Picture books.
Yeah. I'm not saying I don't disagree with it. I'm just saying if you're following the rules of football, it's a yellow card.
Jack, do you think shouldn't that be allowed?
No, I think it's fine. I just think it was a very clever move from Arteta. Obviously, Chalobah was probably about to score and prevented a goal.
It
was genius.
I mean, I wouldn't think of doing it myself in terms of, like, it wouldn't spring to mind, but obviously Art is a footballer.
It's really intelligent if you think about it.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Fantastic.
It's absolutely
brilliant. I've done it once. I mean, I'll say it, but I chatted to an older boy I remember at school and I said, leave it. And he left it and he nearly tried to throw a punch, and then I just gave up football because I cried myself off the pitch. But we are talking about Fulham and Harry Arteta's wonderful leave it shout there. But let's talk a little bit about the Sessegnon deal, because obviously I know you guys, it's probably boring, it's all over Fulham social media, I know on the Fulhamish podcast we've spoke about it for weeks and weeks, but is this deal actually going to happen? Because I reckon he's going to stay at Fulham.
It's a weird one, because we've sort of accepted ever since towards the end of last season that he was going to go.
He's off.
Yeah, so we've been thinking about him in our plans, but he's going to stay. I'm not necessarily a fan of that, because, you know, we've been building a team without him in mind, then he comes back into the fold, then plus... can't see him signing a new deal. I think, but I feel like he might sign a new deal under the proviso that he's definitely off to somewhere in January or next summer, because just so we don't end up missing out on a transfer fee for him. I feel like he might be nice. But,
yeah.
But I still feel like Spurs could get a deal over the line tomorrow, though, because they don't. That every deal for every other player seems to fall through, because they can't bother to play more than a bag of peanuts for any of them.
Well, you had an active transfer window last year, although it was very late. We know that you sort of changed the fate of the squad going into the Premier League. Now you're back in the Championship. You've signed a lot of players. Realistically, how many more new players do Fulham need? You seem like you've got a lot of bodies in the squad.
I think it's naive to think that the team's good enough as it is now. I think it looks good, because you look who started the game. You have Mitrovic, Caballero, you've got Knockhart, Kearney, Johansson, McDonald, Bryan, Mawson, Lamarcion Odoi, you know, Christie. But then if you look at the bench, apart from the forward options, it's very, very weak. I mean, going forward, we've got the depth. That's perfectly fine. But as I said, the only other midfielder on the bench, Luca Della Torre, like, there needs to be some depth in there, and I think that's the biggest problem. It might not, it's sort of your Lucas Piazons, your Ollie Norwoods, the players who will make a contribution but only probably play 15, 20 games across the season.
Jack, we spoke about it last week that sometimes being the favourites doesn't almost help, because universally I'd say that everyone's predicting either Fulham to win the Championship or at least automatic, if not playoffs, very worst case scenario. Is that sometimes a pressure that you don't want? We spoke about this last week. You want to fly under that radar, don't you?
I don't like the pressure, because then all eyes are on us and now we've lost. I mean, David Prutton predicted us to lose and I thought, no, obviously we're going to win, and then we lost. So I don't like the pressure. All eyes are on us, and then obviously Parker's got a big job on his hands and it's been a bad start for him.
So Nat, is the pressure even more firmly on, or can you now sort of step away from the limelight because you have had that first defeat, or already the questions, when do Fulham pick up their first points?
I think it depends what happens on Saturday, really. I think if we get back to winning ways on Saturday, then in a comfortable victory, then everyone sort of forget the Barnsley game, see it as a sort of anomaly and then move on from there. But then if we end up drawing, I don't know, 1-1 on Saturday, there will be more and more questions asked. And it doesn't obviously get much easier going away to Huddersfield. You know, we've got Millwall at home, never going to be easy. Away to Cardiff, home to Nottingham Forest, home to West Brom, away to Sheffield Wednesday. You know, the games don't exactly get easier. And, you know, there are no easy games in any league, really. So I think that it's time for the players to live up to the expectation and prove why we are the favourites.
George, how quickly can things unravel when you aren't picking up results? So we know the season is a long one in the Championship, 46 games. You can play well from Christmas and get promoted. You're almost laughing. But is it vital you do start winning now? Or can you afford to sort of have this period where you are finding your feet back in the Championship?
You've got to remember, Charlie, we're coming straight off the back of a season in which our season was never ravelled. It was just a slow decline. And yeah, the confidence is massive. As I said, essentially coming off that season where things just went from bad to worse, I think it's of the utmost importance we get some wins under our belt. That cannot be understated. We need to get the confidence back. People spoke about in pre-season, yeah, there's a nice feel about the club. You know, we put last season behind us. We need wins. We need wins. Otherwise, I'm a little bit concerned.
Well, that's one of the biggest problems was that if going into the game on Saturday, you've got Barnsley. They're at home. They just come back on automatic promotion from League One after being down there for one season, haven't lost at home since March 2018 when they were in the Championship last time. So it's in that sense, it's not exactly hugely surprising, because you know, they're clearly on this massive up still. We're still on this sort of downward slide. And that's sort of what happened there. But yeah, I think it's important for us, so we're not... It starts at any club in any league in any season. You don't want to be chasing that first win. You just want that first win
because
to come.
Then it comes a monkey on the back.
Yeah, if you look in the Premier League, West Ham last season, I think they also lost the first four games. I know they were like pretty much all against the top six. But
Bournemouth.
Yeah. Apart from that one, you want to be thinking. You want to just get that win so you're not thinking about it, and then you can move on from there. Because you know we need to make sure that Craven Cottage is an absolute fortress. I mean, you know, it will probably be disappointing if we drop whenever we drop points at home this season, because we're expecting to do really well there. And I think that once you get that first win, then you can move on from there. And then I think the players will eventually gel. And then once we start playing our fluid football, which we didn't see, I think that's another big problem, is there was no fluidity to the way we were playing. Then you'll sort of feel like the wins are going to come. So at the moment, it's not really feeling like playing football is like second nature to the players. It's feel like they have to think too much sometimes. So I think once we get into a sort of a winning run, then we will actually be fine.
Well, you mentioned that it's important not to chase that first win. I'm sure Fulham won't be. They will get it sooner rather than later. But is there an element, and I spoke to Pete Smith from the Stoke Senator recently, and he was talking about it, that Stoke still kind of have this Premier League hangover. Mm. They've got this Premier League pedigree. They was expected to bounce straight back last year. They had a really disappointing season. Sacked their manager. Nathan Jones is now in there. Is this a thing, though, where, like a sort of a bad taste, a real hangover, this cloud lingers over you? Because you do have bad taste in the mouth, you have bad memories from last year, and it's quite hard sometimes because teams expect you to go, oh, Fulham, they'll bounce back straight away. Yeah. They're going to run away with the league, 100 points again. But it doesn't always work out like that, and you can find that this hangover, it can linger for quite a while. Is there a concern that Fulham could be in this?
I don't necessarily think... It's quite often that teams who get relegated from the Premier League don't go back up. I think the only two teams to do it recently are Newcastle and Hull. So, and then obviously Burnley before. But you don't really get many relegated teams actually going back up, because they don't actually have that momentum to build on. So I think, you know, you look at Stoke. Stoke remind me of when we went down in 13-14. That's what they remind me of the most, as opposed to the position we're in now, because, you know, they'd been in the Premier League for a sustained period of time. They dropped down and didn't really know how to adapt. We've still got the majority of the team who've got us up, who've got championship experience, whereas last time we actually didn't. So I think we will be fine. I just think, you know, it is, as I said, just getting that first win, and then the other wins will obviously come. But yeah, no, I don't think necessarily we're necessarily do a Stoke, just because I think our players know what the championship's about and know what needs to be done to get yourself promoted.
Do you two agree with that?
Yeah, that's a good point. I do.
Well, that's the end of that then. I thought you might have said different. No, because it can be ruled a hangover, and, you know, people are very quick to judge when it is only one game in. But you are facing Blackburn, and we're going to be talking to Ryan Hildred of Rovers Chat to see what he thinks of the upcoming game this weekend.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show with the Fulhamish podcast here on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by Don Betts, George Cooper and Jack Kelly. We were talking, of course, the Championship season has kicked off, and it was a 1-0 defeat to Barnsley to start the season. We're hoping for better things this weekend against Blackburn. I'm delighted to say we've got Ryan Hildred on the phone from Rovers Chat. Ryan, great to speak to you again. Spoke to you last week when we were talking a little bit about the Charlton game. You predicted a Blackburn win against Charlton. It didn't quite happen this way. How are you feeling towards this weekend's game?
Amazing the difference a week makes.
I think we share that feeling.
I know. As I said last week, very stable summer for us. But the team selection on Saturday shocked a lot of us.
Sharing the same emotions. It's great.
Yeah, definitely. I shared last week the weaknesses that we had at fullback, and Mowbray shot himself in the foot a little bit playing Elliot Bennett there again. He didn't have a good game, and none of the defence did really. So Charlton, I think, had, you know, three or four attacks, never really any sustained pressure. But we folded like a pack of cards, really. So the same back four that caused us problems last season started the game on Saturday. And ultimately, Charlton deserved winners based on our defensive performance, really. So, yeah, feeling a lot less confident this Saturday, that's for sure.
Well, see, even after the loss to Charlton on the weekend, what are the aims for Blackburn this season? Is it just sort of stability in mid-table, or is there sort of a look to sort of push for the playoffs?
Yeah, well, last week I said on the show that we've got to be aiming for playoffs, and I based it a lot around the future of Bradley Dack, because, you know, hopefully we can get through tomorrow with him still at the club, but I do think a lot of our transfer activity is probably on the basis of him going at some point, and there might be a bit of a golden handshake going on with Mowbray. So Dak is integral to us, you know, reaching the Premier League, which has been, you know, said by Tony Mowbray before. That's the ultimate aim. So we've got to aim for the playoffs. And I think a lot of the Championship is in transition with new managers or FFP regulations or whatever. So we've got to try and take advantage of an opportunity and go for those playoffs. But possibly will be a bit too far. I did say that last week, but, you know, as a fan, we've got to aim for it. But stability, yes, after, you know, 7 years of chaos, it's nice to have stable seasons, most certainly.
Yeah, obviously, it's our first home game, and it's obviously going to be a weird one for us because, you know, we're going to be missing a stand. I think it's just the first time that Fulham fans are going to see that. What are Blackburn sort of hopes going into Saturday? I'm expecting to see if they can get a shock win and make Fulham have two losses out of two, or are they just hoping to come away without being too badly bruised?
I don't think any of us will expect a win. Maybe we can try and hope for a win, maybe catch Fulham off guard after the Barnsley defeat. But our record last season against the likes of United, Norwich, Villa, you know, that top 6-7 all away from home, I think we lost them all bar one, which was Derby. I think we drew 0-0. So our record against the better sides in the division, which is where I'd class Fulham, you know, away from home, is not very good. So if we can get a point and, you know, kind of avoid back-to-back defeats, that would be a success in my eyes, certainly.
Ryan, you mentioned last week that the aim for Blackburn has to be the playoffs. You're pushing on, you know, why else wouldn't that be the aim? I know it's only one game, but do you sort of take yourself out of that now and go, oh, we're actually not as good as we think we are, and maybe this is going to be a much longer season than I first expected?
No, I don't take us out of it. I think it's given us a bit of realism about actually there are some fundamental defensive issues there. We've still got tomorrow for the window. Let's see if Mowbray does pull anything out. Let's see where we are also in January. Might make some defensive additions there. I think last season proved with the likes of Bristol City and Preston and Sheffield United, you know, those teams, not Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday, sorry, all coming from nowhere and making a bit of a push. You just got to kind of hang in there and, you know, around February, March time, just make that late push. So don't take us out of it, most certainly not, but just maybe a dose of realism about the state of our defence, certainly.
Everyone looks at Bradley Dack as, you know, Blackburn's most dangerous player, which is, do you think that's short-sighted or is he so key to the way you play?
Very key to the way we play. Last season, definitely key to the way we play. Very much it was centred around a Danny Graham, Bradley Dack kind of axis, with Graham as the big man and Dack feeding off his chests and his headers and stuff like that. You know, if you look at Dak's showreel, loads of his goals are in that penalty area. So that was key last season. This season, Mowbray's definitely trying to make it a bit more expansive as a front three. You know, Adam Armstrong can play across that front three. Sam Gallagher can. Ben Brereton can. We had Joe Rothwell emerge last season. And we've got a young lad, Harry Chapman, as well, who's very pacey down that right wing. So I think Mowbray will try and change it away from that Dak-Graham dynamic. But he's a magician, Dak. You know, he wants that ball all the time. He wants to be affecting it. So hopefully we can just find a new way of Dak linking with that dynamic front three rather than just the one big man in Graham up top.
Yeah, obviously you spoke about the way where your sort of key players are in the team. Where, is there any aspects of the Fulham side after seeing our loss to Barnsley that you think that Mowbray will be targeting this weekend?
I think I look at your defence. It's certainly not as strong as the rest of your side. I mean, I look at your front three and I look at the three in midfield, and obviously we love Tom Kearney as well. We've still never replaced him. I look at those six in front of your defence and think, yeah, as good as anyone in this division. The defence still got question marks around that. Maybe Le Marchand looks a bit, I don't know, he looked a bit dodgy in the Prem, if you ask me, and I think he got done on Saturday as well, didn't he, for the Barnsley goal. So if maybe Danny Graham can get up to him a bit physically, get Armstrong in behind, something like that, you know, I think we've got to try and target the defence, because I mean, pound for pound going forward and in your midfield, you know, you will outcompete us there probably.
Ryan, unfortunately, it's that time in a show again where I ask you for a prediction. I know you strongly predicted Blackburn to beat Charlton last weekend, so maybe a similar yep. one and then Fulham get the result. I know the Fulham boys will be happy, but what are you predicting the score will be this weekend?
Historically, I don't think our record at Fulham's very good. I think it'll be a Fulham win. I think first home game for Fulham. I do think you'll get the win. I don't like making predictions like that. If I'm being optimistic, maybe we could sneak a draw, 1-1. But I am expecting a Fulham win. I do, like I said last week, I was expecting us to get the job done against Charlton. I think Fulham will possibly get the job done on Saturday, certainly.
Blackburn might not get the result, Ryan, but you're certainly making friends on the Fulham show. We really appreciate you calling in. Ryan Hildred there of Rovers Chat to preview this weekend's game. He just said it there. Blackburn don't have the best of records against Fulham. Now I have to ask for your three predictions. Dom, first, what do you think?
I said this game screams 1-1. Like, it just screams 1-1. Tony Knockers, 42.
And Tony then... Knockers! Gets in there!
And then, you know...
Anytime goal scorer, print yeah. money, Tony Knockers.
And then obviously, I think Bradley Dack will get one in like the 63rd minute. But if we're looking at this game, you can't be accepting anything less than 3 points. You'd expect them to be working in training on some sort of tactical system. I mean, I like to think so anyway, because there clearly wasn't one when we played Barnsley. You'd hope Anthony Knockhart would be coming in. And I think that, you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him, and that might, in essence, help Barnsley. You know, Danny Graham is going to cause our defence problems because he's Danny Graham. And I think, you know, our defence don't really do well when any other team attacks, to be perfectly honest. So I think that's where the problems would be lie. But I just make sure Bradley Dack doesn't get too much time on the ball. But I think it's important that we attack them on the front foot, make sure there's that link between the midfield and the attack. And yeah, just go inside and make sure the balls are getting into the box to Mitrovic, because that's where we're going to cause the most damage.
Jack?
Yeah, Mitrovic, I'm backing him for a brace. I'm backing Fulham to win by 2-0. It could be a bit of a sticky spell if Blackburn get a spell in the second half and put the pressure on, but I think we'll be all right. I think we need an early goal to maybe settle the nerves of the crowd. I'm backing us for the win.
George?
3-2 Fulham. I think the way that our defence is currently, I can't see us not conceding. That was a cracking 3-2 victory at Craven Cottage against Blackburn, I think it was 2010. Do you remember Roque Santa Cruz got a goal for them?
What a player, what a signing. Yeah. 2.5 million, fantastic.
Well, because our last home game against them was pretty devastating. I think, was that when Syriac scored, I want to say?
Yeah, Syriac scored and then Lucas Xiao scored at the last minute to dent our playoff hopes.
I think we thought playoffs were dead at that point, if I remember correctly.
And then we lost to Wolves. Yeah.
Goey Syriac, the bagsman, scoring his only goal for the club.
Bagsman.
We should be winning this game on Saturday, but for me, it just screams a 1-1 draw.
Well, I'm saying that Fulham get on the board. 3 points. 3-1 I'm going to go for. Score win. I do think that Fulham will score the goals, but I do fancy them to concede a goal as well. It could be early. I don't think there might be a few nervy minutes, but I think Blackburn will just eventually fold and then Fulham will come good. I don't rate Blackburn as a side at all. Danny Graham, no problems. Tony Knockers has got this game in the bag. Next, though, it is time for the listeners' questions.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by the Fulhamish podcast, Don Betts, George Cooper and Jack Kelly. We've been talking a little bit about Barnsley, the game against Blackburn this week. Vital, Dom says, to get 3 points. They have to start getting those wins, otherwise they start to chase them. Also, a little bit of transfer business. Will there be many more in and who is going to leave? But now, of course, it is time for you to get involved. It is the listener questions. A few questions for the guys in the studio. The first one was on Instagram. We asked the listeners, what position do we need to improve the most?
So, well, I'll go through all of them. Lucas Stevens said defenders. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah.
Jack Evans, 7-6-8 with a centre-back. Ted Turner, 7 with a centre-back, a right-back and a creative player in the midfield. Tommy Taylor with right-back because Christie is pony. A centre-back and a CDM, ideally a Marty. We had Louis King with right-back or striker and possibly a centre-back. Toby Newsom with let's hope in defence because he had a weird dream that we had a reincarnation of Brayden Hanglin last night. So hopefully that bodes well. Sam, what did anyone say centre-back? Jake Conroy, 96, if most important is a centre-back, Sol Bamba. Id Cooper FC with a centre-back or a right-back. Jake Conroy again with goalkeeper, right-back, right centre-back and a creative midfielder. Easier with just desire. That's where we need to improve, apparently. Charlie Smith with defence. Joe Sadler with manager. R/1 with right-back first, then a centre-half. Scotty Brain with defence. Dickie Davis, 89, centre-back and a right-back. So if we're looking at it's mainly defenders and then sometimes in the midfield, but it's mainly the centre-back and right-back areas.
And desire,
obviously.
A Fulham target in those positions then, because we know all as a club, what fans want and what fans think we need isn't necessarily what the club chases in the window.
We don't seem to be linked with any.
This is the problem.
The only centre-back I've seen linked is Cameron Carter-Vickers, but then I've read things that he's going to Leeds tomorrow, so it's up in the air, and that's the position I'm most worried about. Hopefully someone said Daniel Amati, it could be close to coming in, and if he does that, then we can maybe switch him and put him at right back, but it's quite rogue. I'm not too sure about it.
Just quickly there, how pleased were you with Bettinelli's performance this weekend?
Oh, he was woeful.
I think people are giving him too much stick personally. And I'm one to usually give Bettinelli quite a fair bit of stick. I think yeah, obviously. I think he was commanding of his box, and yes, you know, he definitely should have saved the goal. But I do think people are giving him too much stick. Like, bring in Fabbri, bring in Rodak. I was like, no.
I think Fabbri all day.
Just stick with Bettinelli. I think that he's one of the only players who won't lose his place in the team this year. I've got an issue with him continuing. You know, goalkeeper. You know, you're never going to get the perfect goalkeeper. So for me, Bettinelli's perfectly good enough for this division. He was in what 2 or 3 England squads last season. So yeah, I don't see.
He clearly got the potential.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think there's any need to change Bettinelli.
And he hasn't been starting a lot. So it was the first game back, a new game in the season.
Yeah, he's the first game back from like a really long-term injury. Like, give him a break.
Give him a break. There you have it. All right, well, we did also ask some questions on Twitter, so I'm now going to put them to you guys. The first one, it comes from Michael B at MBFFC. I think he's a Fulham fan. Is Parker going to last after that horror show of a tactical display?
Yeah. That's the answer to that question. We need to give him
some
time.
You're putting that to bed straight away, George.
Need to give him some time. You know, give the man a chance, man. It's his first game of the Championship. Worrying, concerning, but things will turn for the better.
Yeah, I want to stay positive. There's no point getting negative after one game. Stick with Scotty P. I think he'll do bits for us.
Tony Knockers and Scotty P.
Ask me that in December. We'll see what I say. But for the time being, I think we've got to give Scotty P a chance.
Yeah, I'll give him a chance, but there are definitely better managers out there. Like Chris Hughton's one of them. He may not play the style of football that Fulham fans are craving, but you know, I think that Scott Parker, he's got a lot to prove and he's not got too long to really do it, because let's say come October, November, we're sitting, what, 15th, 16th in the table, there are going to be questions asked. And it's not exactly like the Khans are one to, you know, stick faith with a manager. They are hires and fires. I think in our two seasons in the Premier League, and we've had six bosses. So, yeah, I want to say he's going to do it, but yeah, he's not exactly going to be... If we're like come mid-table, come November, December time, you can see him pulling the trigger once again.
Well, my question off the back of that, Fulham are known for maybe firing managers. And George, you just touched upon it there. You said, we need to give him a chance. It's his first game. But if it comes to December, and that sort of doesn't reek to someone of giving him a chance. So how much of a chance is a chance?
It's a very good question. I feel like if our promotion chances look seriously in jeopardy, then you've got to start asking some questions.
Yeah, but then you can argue that our promotion chances looked in jeopardy when we went up, when we lost to Sunderland, and then
If we didn't win that player final, that season would have been an absolute failure.
No. What I'm saying is, in the position of the table, we were like 17th in Slavisa, we were going
nowhere. I would not have complained if Slavisa got the sack.
Yeah, I was kind of... I thought it might happen.
You was on the fence, Jack.
Yeah, I was on the fence, and then when we went 23 games unbeaten, the rest is history.
That's what I mean. There you go, the rest is history. You know, you can, from January onwards, you can make a surge, can't you, almost? Yeah. The Championship, by no means, is over in December.
As long as you're in touch and distance with 10 games to go, that there's a chance to sneak into the playoffs.
Yeah, we're giving him longer than December.
Yeah, it's a good point you raised, Jack. But I feel like with Slavisa, he's got a track record. You know, he took Watford up and he'd sort of stabled the ship for us before we went on that bad run before the Sunderland defeat, which was the turning point in our season. So with him, you've got some previous kind of stuff to go on. Whereas with Scott Parker, he's 100% unfounded. So I feel like he could be a little bit more nervous,
An interesting topic to maybe come back to in December or after this week's game against Blackburn. The second question, it's from Edward Cohen at @Ed_Cohen, but I believe it's from our very own Guy Barlow. Should we give Rodak or Fabbri an opportunity this season?
I mean, obviously, I've already said my piece on this when people were criticising
Fabbri for life.
But I think, yeah, stick with Bertinelli for now. I don't see any reason to... You know, we were criticised last season of chopping and changing our goalkeepers too much, and it's the last position you want to be chopping and changing. Goalkeepers have a bad game. I don't think he necessarily had a bad game. He didn't have his best game. That's what you can say here. So, no, I think Rodak will be challenging Bertinelli this season. I think I wouldn't be surprised if Fabbri goes to somewhere in Europe before the end of the European transfer window by the end of the month. But, yeah, I don't see any reason to change it now.
Yeah, I think the best system to have is a league keeper and a cup keeper. You have Bertinelli in the league and Rodak in the cup.
That means Rodak's going to play twice all season.
Well, yeah, I mean, and then obviously barring injury, then Rodak can come in. So I think we'll just stick with that.
I think it's healthy having that competition. You need that competition. You need the prospect of, you know, I might get dropped here. Mm. But I like Betts. He's Fulham through and through. He loves the club. He's been a fantastic sort of servant for us over the years. I would be surprised if we saw anyone other than him keep the number one jersey. Well, he's not the number one jersey, but stay and go.
I know what you mean. Jack, you did mention it then. It is becoming more popular in the modern game. There's a thing that cup keepers, aren't we? Whatever cup you're in, you play a different keeper. So we could see him in that capacity, couldn't we?
Yeah. The Claudio Bravo would be of Manchester City. Yeah, Marek Rodak's had two very, very good loan spells at Rotherham. So he kind of does warrant Championship football. So obviously, if Betts does decline in performance, then obviously bring Marek in.
I think Betts has very always declined in performance. Oh, we're talking about Bertinelli. Why is the next question? Why is Kamara so divisive? How can one player be looked upon so differently from the same side of the fence? I've read reviews on him being our best player, and then he's our worst player on Saturdays. And that is from Daniel Savage at DanSavage56.
I think because people see runs a lot and assumes he's doing some work, but if you watch him actually, not even closely, if you just watch him, he's just not very good at football.
I reckon it comes down to a question of entertainment, because no matter what you say about him, he's entertaining to watch. Whether he have a fantastic game or have a, to use your catchphrase, Dom pony game. He's all you just never know what you're going to get. So people come away from the game thinking he sticks in the mind. Like, who's that? I mean, I can't remember who the commentator was, but say, who's this linebacker Fulham's bringing on?
Linebacker? Yeah, he's not the NFL.
No, but as well, he's just so quick, so strong, and he's so unpredictable. I think it comes down to that.
I think it kind of plays into our advantage slightly when defence don't know what's really coming with Kamara, but then he's also just so bad.
The only reason they don't is because he doesn't either.
No, exactly. Exactly. And I just would rather he just came on final 20 instead of starting games.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you.
He's an impact player off the bench. He's not someone you start easily because, you know, yes, he can cause trouble when he comes on, but he's just causing us trouble if he starts to go.
Yeah.
Well, to use the phrase again, this one is from at Weekly Geekly, which I love. This is, who's the most pony player you've seen play in a Fulham shirt?
There are many players who can fit into this category.
There are many players.
For me, though, I think I'm just going to stick with Eddie Johnson.
Yeah, I love Crazy Eddie.
Like, he was there for 4 years, had 3 shots on target and scored 0 goals being a striker.
He got 1 in a pre-season friendly against Brentford.
I remember that,
5-0.
As we put on our Twitter this week, he set up one of AJ's goals against FK Vecchia in the third qualifying round of the Europa League 2009. So, but yeah, apart from that, you know, he was a bit like a Kamara. He sort of just came on and you were like, how are you here?
Yeah.
I would go with Gabor Kiraly because of his horrendous performance against Watford at home under the Slavisa Kanovic Watford side. He basically jumped over the ball when Deeney shot. He came out to meet it and then just jumped over the ball, went into the back of the net. We lost 5-0 on a grim
December
night.
Did he always wear tracksuit bottoms?
Yeah, and he let in about 25 goals in about six or seven games. So, yeah, not my favourite Fulham player ever.
There you have it, pony player.
I've got one that I'd like to add in. Our little friend Carlos Salcedo. Do you remember Salcedo?
But he was always just going to score a banger. He just never came off.
No, it never came off. Precisely, though. It never came off. He was there. I remember his debut game, he put in a fantastic ball for, I think it must have been Bobby Zamora, peach of a cross, and then we were thinking, Carl, this is a fantastic signing. I think Mark Hughes signed him for about $3 million, and then ever since then he was just absolutely diabolical.
That was his moment.
He was so bad, but he's one of those ones where he went on to play for the Mexican side and was like their captain for years.
He played well.
I don't understand is he then moved into holding midfield. I could not see him playing as a holding midfielder. I mean, we're talking about left backs. Jordan Arisa will clearly be up there for me because the amount of times he tried to shoot from about 30 yards out and it went about 8 yards wide. I think the only thing I really remember him doing is scoring the winning penalty away at Burton in the League Cup. But yeah, Eddie Johnson for me, but you know, shout outs to Mark Fotheringham and Steve Marley.
Right, well, we've still got 3, so we still have to rattle through them. The next one is from Julian Hare at JulianHare17. After listening to the Tony Khan episode, an early Premier League relegation, it felt transfer business would be done earlier this year, subject to obviously the usual Fulham difficulty. Do you feel this could impact us once again? Are we going to see a flurry of late business before the window shuts?
I don't see anything a flurry. I don't think there's anyone coming in now who's necessarily going to be a starting cert in our team, which is probably a good thing. The only one I can probably think of was maybe Mo Besic. But yeah, I think that was the main problem last year. Too many players who came in on deadline day ended up being in the first team. And I think with this, it's more about getting the squad depth in over the next 19 or 18 hours, whatever it is. So yeah, I don't think we'll have the same issues that we did last season, but it would have been nice to get our business done earlier on.
Yeah, considering we were relegated in April, you could understand preparing.
But like the 2nd of April.
Yeah, exactly. So we had so long to prepare, and obviously we're still looking for 2 or 3 on deadline day. I think it could be a potentially quite busy day, but I'm not getting too hopeful.
I think Tony Khan is a keen advocate of the deadline day signing, because on that very podcast that you referred to, Charlie,
he said about dominoes falling, didn't he? For other clubs.
He talks about the Mitrovic deal. That would never have happened had it not been last minute. I think he accepts it as an inevitability with his sort of negotiation style. So I think we will see people, but I agree with Dom. I hope it's adding depth and we don't have any absurd big money last minute signings that we don't need.
Also, the transfer window is a little bit like poker, isn't it? Teams have got their poker face on, we won't accept this money, and then when no one else comes in, we will accept this money. So sometimes deals can only be done on that day, and as fans we love it, really, because we just want we want it to go to the last day and just extend. We love the knowledge.
Yeah, that's the Ryan Sessegnon deal. That's basically what's happening with the Sessegnon deal. We're waiting and waiting.
Well, we are. I don't think he will go down. I'm still holding on to that. Last question, if we can get it in quickly. Say you do sign a centre-half and a right-back, what would be your realistic choice if you could get him, just quickly?
I don't even know. There's no one linked. But Carter-Vickers definitely the centre-back.
Yeah, I would agree. I wanted Semi Ajayi, but he's gone to West Brom.
I agree. Carter-Vickers. Yeah, centre-back, I would have to say. Mm. Other than that, did you see we got linked with Leanne Vertonghen? Did anyone else see that? Am I the only person who saw
You're
that?
You're just making
George,
things up.
George, you've made that up. George, you've absolutely made that up.
I'll send you the tweets.
George,
I'll
you can't come again. You've absolutely made that up. Well, you did make up Tony Knockers, so we'll allow you maybe to have another appearance. Well, we have got just under a minute. I thought you was going to give longer answers than that. Now we're coming to the GOAT question of the listener questions. Nothing Fulham related. What's your favourite flavour of crisps? We should have dedicated a whole section
to this. Really, you were talking about it yesterday. Yeah. Smoky bacon, mate. Can't beat him.
Oh, Jack.
Flaming hot Cheetos.
That's not a bad chat. So but Monster nice. Munch pickled onion could be in there.
Yeah, ooh, it's nice.
Space
it's
Raiders,
nice.
Mate.
Goat. Goat crisps.
I like the ribbon saucy knickknacks. I had a packet then the other day.
Are they still available?
I hadn't had them since primary school and it took me back. So I'm going to go for that.
Well, it's all about the crisps. It's all about the biscuits here on the Fulham show. It's all about the beans. But Fulham are playing Blackburn this week. Let's hope they get their 3 points and they get up and running.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.